2 years ago this weekend, Congress gave final approval to the McCain-Feingold campaign finance law. The law survived a constitutional challenge, and it has changed many of the basic rules that govern American politics. NPR's Peter Overby has followed the law since its inception.
Just before the final Senate debate, Democrat Russell Feingold wanted to put things in perspective.
After 6.5 years of work on this bill, and more than a decade of scandals that have threatened the integrity of our legislative process, I do believe that this body is ready to get the job done for the American people.
On one question, there's no doubt. McCain-Feingold accomplished its primary job of separating federal candidates in the national parties from so-called soft money. Soft money was a way around contribution limits that had been set back in the post-Watergate days of 1975 or even earlier. Corporations and unions could not donate directly to candidates. So they and rich individuals started writing 5-, 6-, and 7-figure checks to the national party committees instead. They did it at the urging of the lawmakers. And that created the appearance, at least, of corruption. Reform advocate Fred Wertheimer has worked the campaign finance issue even longer than Feingold or the bill's co-author, Republican Senator John McCain. Wertheimer says they succeeded in the most important thing.
They have cut down on the ability of people to buy government decisions. We have ongoing problems, but the rights and interests of the American people have been increased.
Veteran Democratic strategist Michael Berman, never a fan of McCain-Feingold, says the law has driven out a good percentage of soft money.
There is certainly a certain amount of money that would have been in the system that will not be in the system because the public officials who benefit from the campaigns can't thank you for it. That is a real change.
But McCain-Feingold offered a carrot to go with the stick. It raised the limits on hard money. Candidates can now ask donors for $2,000 contributions, twice the old $1,000 limit. And what did that do? Michael Malbin, director of the Campaign Finance Institute, says that donations to House candidates, mainly incumbents, went up, not down. Up last year by $25 million.
That entire $25 million comes from contributions above $1,000.
And as for soft money, a lot of it's finding a new means of expression, just a little more removed from the candidates themselves.
Mr. Chairman, the game is the same.
Senator McCain testified last week at a Senate hearing on what are known as 527 groups. 527s register with the IRS under Section 527 of the tax code. They say they're not covered by McCain-Feingold's ban on soft money or its restrictions on TV advertising. So McCain got an I told you so from Rules Committee Chairman Trent Lott, someone who himself had tried to kill McCain's legislation 2 years ago.
I don't quite understand how we have improved things by moving money from one side of the street to the other.
It's not just a philosophical point, it's a partisan one. The biggest 527 groups so far are liberal. Financier George Soros has given 527s several million dollars to attack President Bush. Republicans are pushing the Federal Election Commission to shut them down. Three Republicans and three Democrats serve on the commission. Democrat Ellen Weintraub says Republicans better get used to Soros because no law regulates independent spending by individuals.
So even if the FEC embarked on a quest to sideline every single soft money advocacy group, we could never take George Soros off the playing field. It is perfectly legal and constitutionally protected.
The 527 battle will likely last longer than the presidential campaign. Meanwhile, the candidates and the parties have managed to gather up more money than ever. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.